Chapter 16, Killing Pralamba and Devouring the Forest Fire.
Giri Pujayam Vihitam Kena Davayogmam Pari Pitam Yena Giri Pujayam.
In the morning, lit by the effulgence of the assembly, powerful Nanda took his seat with Krishna present. Madhukanta began to speak. O Snigdhakanta, sitting near me, hear a brave exploit of Balaram. As Krishna and Balaram played while herding the cows, Summer, which is not much favored by the animals, arrived in Vrindavan. It is not surprising that this summer season had the qualities of spring, because the two brothers, attached to Vrindavan, always dwelled there. The roar of waterfalls was mistaken for approaching rainstorm clouds. The crickets chirped shrilly, and the trees, covered with mist from the waterfalls, were filled with flowers. Thus summer appeared like spring. The breeze carried the fragrance of lotuses mixed with cool water to the shady places in the forest, as if it were spring, making the place moist and full of flowers. When suitable things are combined, unlimited happiness of friendship arises. Though it was summer, the humans thought it was spring in Vrindavan. What to speak of the cuckoos and bees? When Madhava entered the forest and played his flute, the other Madhava, that is summer, appearing as spring, was present twofold. The boys were decorated with jewels from their houses and were always decorated with summer flowers and buds, which produced extreme beauty. What more can be said of the summer? Sridham, Sudham, Vasudama, and others gathered in a group not too far away in order to keep a watch on them. Subal, Arjuna, Krishna, and Balaram came, danced about, and then joined them. They began to speak while giving blessings. Where do you live? You seem to be dancers. Where are you going? Sridham and the others revealed their intentions with joyful minds. Magnanimous souls, we come from far off. Our minds are dancing because of hearing your glories. We also desire to dance with our bodies in front of you. We cannot stay a long time anywhere. Our eyes and ears are now fully satisfied. Krishna replied to his friends, our two ears are like great gurus with great knowledge. By the ears we understand the qualities of great persons. How much should we respect the mind by praise, since we are joyful here? What use are the feet, since the feet should be used to fulfill our desires? Can we focus our eyes on any other attractive object, since here the eyes make us see what is taught by Guru? What have we not achieved with our nostrils, since they bestow us bliss? What to say about our skin, which receives the fragrant breeze from the forest? Do you not experience some auspicious emotion from this, by whose results you are inundated internally and externally? There is no harm if the glorious Creator stays here even by His name. All the Upanishads cannot glorify His followers enough. We simply dance, forgetting ourselves. Will we not gain great fortune on ourselves by the mercy of the feet of this great soul, since he has made us like devatas by his extraordinary, unblinking effulgence? We feel protected at the feet of this great soul, since he has made us perfect by giving his shadow. Our minds feel the greatest satisfaction, since he has satisfied us with his sweet glance. Look! He has an extraordinary dancing glance by which all great souls will give us mercy. We are eager to dance and are looking for an opportunity to do so. The assembly members said, O people with elevated desires, if you are dancers for all festivals, then please perform the dance with an attractive black form, amazing like a painting, which is not a painting. The dancer should wear a peacock feather, but be more attractive than a peacock. And he should wear yellow cloth, be more attractive than gold. He should resemble a black cloud, but be more attractive than a black cloud. He should have a flute in his mouth, but be superior to anyone else with a flute. He should have wonderful form and qualities, but not material ones. He should be full of knowledge, but not a vidyadhara. By such variety, the eyes will be amused. Arjuna, Subal, and others began singing using their hands, horns, and split bamboo to keep rhythm. Krishna began to dance, and the young boys of Braj, praised by the Vedas, began praising Krishna. When Krishna entered the stage, Balaram became possessed, and seeing this, the audience began praising both. Since the black and white boys were not different, it was difficult to distinguish the two brothers by their qualities and limbs. The movement of their limbs was like lightning, and their bodies were like a dark cloud, and the moon entering into the mountain in the form of the assembled singers. When the audience offered necklaces with jewels attractive to the heart, the boys refused the gifts. "We do not ask for anything. We are the best of dancers, but we want to see wrestling. You are the best of wrestlers." Hearing this as a confirmation, they said, "We have entered the assembly of elevated persons. Give gifts for our satisfaction and nourishment, but not for creating deception." The boys entered into the crowd, which upon hearing their words was laughing and had come close. The praiseworthy brothers, giving joy, began to wrestle. Whirling about, jumping, punching, slapping their arms together, and pulling each other, they struck each other on their chests while wrestling. Krishna, who destroyed the pride of all people with good qualities, along with his friends, was gratified by blissful knowledge. Sridham and others then showed the art of dancing as an offering to all cultured people. Because the dancing produced great bliss, Krishna with enthusiasm accompanied them with difficult rhythms to test their skill. Shukadeva says, "While the other boys were dancing, O King, Krishna and Balaram would sometimes accompany them with song and instrumental music, and sometimes the two lords would praise the boys, saying, 'Very good, very good.' When the cows disappeared, they played. They hit each other with bilva, kumbha, and small amalaki fruits. Laughing, they imitated the animals, the sounds of birds, and the hopping of frogs. Krishna spent 4 praharas in waves of bliss in ruling from a king's throne, and by taking off the blindfold of a person so he could touch the person who blindfolded him. Krishna played the king, Stoka Krishna played the minister, while Balaram played another king, and Subal played his minister. Sridham and Bhadra were the commanders of the army. In this way, the two brothers ruled their kingdoms. Sometimes they would stay in one place, sometimes march to war, sometimes make peace, sometimes fight, sometimes be victorious, and sometimes be defeated. In this way, Krishna and Balaram played all sorts of well-known games as they wandered among the rivers, hills, valleys, bushes, trees, and lakes of Vrindavan. In this situation, after some days, one morning, Kamsa began to think deeply about the deaths of his demon associates and became perplexed. Pralamba approached Kamsa, offered respects, and asked, "O king, why are you lamenting?" Kamsa said, "Do you not know? Those who assisted me are all dead. Who remains?" Pralamba said, "Anyway, just engage me for an hour." Kamsa remained silent for a moment, shaking his head. Pralamba said, "O Lord, what is this?" Kamsa, laughing with distaste, thinking of Pralamba as a moth, said, "You may tread the path of the blazing fire." Pralamba said in anger, "Oh, the cruel flame of time burns up the Himalayas and dries up the lake on it." Kamsa said, "Let that be. Do as you wish." hearing this, offering respects to Kangsa, insulted by Kangsa, without delay, Pralambha, bound by fate, wandered some distance to the spot where Krishna was playing. These are the two young boys who killed all the demons. I have met with them by coming quickly from Kangsa in secret. Their pride will be crushed by being killed by irrevocable time. Today I will fool them by producing great faith in them. I will fervently play with them as they do on all days, acting like a friend. I will bind the two boys up by the hands and, throwing them on my shoulders, deliver them to Kangsa. Clothed as a thief, covered in profuse evil, filled with faults, Pralambha came to the cow village and, looking around, put on a cow dress lying in a house. Laughing to please them and mix with them, he then entered the group. But Krishna saw him. Seeing him, Krishna went along with his disguise. O Bhadra, why are you late? It is good that you are coming at the height of fun. Laughing in this way at the calamity of disguising oneself as a coward, he gained Pralambha's confidence and made friends with him to defeat Balaram's strength. He then said, O friend, starting today you are my best friend. I will always keep you in my sight. Let Sridham be on the same side as Balaram, who has great competitive spirit. He is a suitable partner for you. Giving up dismay, the demon became more arrogant. Since he who desires to create the universe desires to learn the truth from Krishna, what person who thinks himself clever can outwit Krishna? Then Krishna divided the boys into two groups and made Pralambha the head of his group in order to increase his strength. With great enthusiasm, Balaram fought with Pralambha and Sridham fought with Krishna. In this way they fought, taking the help of unlimited friends. Those who were defeated had to carry the winners on their shoulders like a load of goods that had been purchased. In this way, Krishna became absorbed in the competition. In that unrestricted play, those who were won were carried and those who were defeated were the barriers. Looking like horses, they laughed and made others laugh. Without consideration of respect, they quarreled with each other. In this way, they moved from forest to grove and came to Bandira banyan tree. When the plain became intense, Krishna, in order to have Pralambha carry Balaram on his shoulders, not caring if he was defeated or considering who was strong or weak, made his own group accept defeat. Thinking that it was difficult for others to carry by themselves, Krishna also carried someone. Krishna carried Sridham, and Pralambha carried Balaram. Others, thinking themselves strong, carried other boys. All said, "This is really good." Though at first Pralambha showed attraction to Krishna, when he carried Balaram away, he became fearful of Krishna. Pralambha thus took Balaram far away from the play area. Absorbed in playing, Balaram did not manifest his power of knowledge and did not recognize the demon. Krishna understood the demon just by looking at him. Balaram remained undisturbed as before, and Krishna was skillful at tricking the demon. But Pralambha began to suffer as he carried Balaram, who was heavier than a mountain range. The proud demon, with an embarrassed mind, then manifested his previous huge body. When the black demon carried Balaram, white like the moon, the devatas thought that Rahu was carrying away the moon. Suddenly feeling a little fear, Balaram looked at Krishna's face. Understanding everything by the movement of Krishna's brow, Balaram then hit the demon's head with his fist. As a thunderbolt leaves a black mountain streaked with red minerals and returns to the hand of Indra, the soul of the demon gave up the dark body stained with blood and went to Vishnu. Seeing simultaneously Palamba fall far away and Balaram approaching close, everyone smiled with astonishment. The two brothers, with tears in their eyes, embraced. Their friendship on embracing produced melting internally and externally. When Palamba died with a thunderous roar, the devatas, situated in heaven, showered him with flowers in joy and joked about him. He gave the order to hit the demon on the head in order to play continuously. "O Palamba, we do not transgress respect like you." Though some disturbance was caused by the death of Palamba, the coward boys left the place where he was killed, polluted like a cremation ground, and went to play under Bandira's huge expanse of branches extending four kroshas. When the frolicking boys desired to return home, the cows had strayed far off desiring grass and had entered a grove of dirty reeds on the bank of the Yamuna flowing with abundant water. The boys began searching for the cows that were lost and trapped in the reeds. Realizing they had lost the cows, boys gathered together quickly in lamentation, fearfully calling for the cows. They began to think that some cruel rascal on the order of Kangsa had come and taken the cows. Understanding their path by seeing their hoof marks, Krishna called the cows. He climbed the high bank, waved his yellow cloth, and called out loudly. The cows then made sounds like the Chitaka bird, which had suddenly attained water-laden clouds, rumbling with thunder and flashing with lightning. When Krishna approached the cows and was standing there, assistants of Kangsa, seeing that Palamba had been destroyed, took the opportunity and surrounded the reed grove in force. With enmity, they created an inescapable shower of fire with extraordinary heat produced by evil mantras. The fire burned angrily, throwing off sparks and blazing up, scorched the reed grove with a sizzling sound. The cows became frightened. They gathered together and separated in panic. Krishna and Balaram, as if absorbed in playing, from far off gave shelter to their friends, since they were their protectors. Though they desired to protect Krishna when they saw the fire, his friends prayed to him for their protection. When his desire to protect them arose, that prayer became evident. "O Krishna, Krishna, most powerful one, O Rama, you whose prowess never fails, please save your devotees who are about to be burned by this forest fire and have come to take shelter of you." When they came close, he heard their pain and their words of praise. Coming to them, he understood their fear. In anger, he began to think, "These friends are dearer to me than myself. Seeing the forest fire, they become frightened. I will devour the fire, which Yama and Shiva cannot do. But my friends will not be able to endure me swallowing fire." He then said, "Oh, do not be afraid. Please close your eyes." When they closed their eyes with concentration, using Yogamaya, he produced a body like a huge rain cloud. With its huge mouth, he devoured the forest fire without difficulty. Some say that by his desire, the fire became like a drop of nectar. By his desire, something else was accomplished. The coward boys opened their eyes and were amazed to find not only that they and their cows had been saved from the terrible fire, but that they had all been brought back to the Bandira tree. Retrieving the cows, Krishna played his flute in the company of Balaram and, spreading his glory among his friends, returned to Braj in the evening. The cows' dust rose in the air and their hooves sounded. He called the cows and played his flute, which entered the ears of everyone. Attracted by the sound and dust, the citizens of Gokula did not know what was behind, in front, or besides them, and they were unaware of themselves. When people came from all directions, they made the sky dark with dust, but Krishna's moon-like face made them happy. After giving joy to Nanda, Yashoda, and their friends, the two brothers entered their house. The boy's friends telling about Pralamba and the forest fire astonished everyone. The story was finished when the narrator said, "O Nanda, by good acts you have given birth to a son who swallowed a forest fire out of love for his friends."